Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
I will dress up as a Star Trek character.
Right.
But as a Star Wars character is way too far. It's outrageous. It should be banned. I believe it's against, like, all the Geneva conventions.
Right.
Anyone who dresses up as a Star Wars person is a loser. Now, if you dress up as a Star Trek person, that's very honorable.
Will you get a copy of William Shatner's hairpiece and put that on when you meet him? Will you do anything?
That's not a system. Is it? Is that a hair system?
Of course it is. Stop it.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All righty, then. We are live at Chatter. We're at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Streets Northwest. We are open for breakfast, but full disclosure forces me to say there's nobody here because it's so cold. Well, Kimberly is here, but Kimberly's here to serve people who are
sort of
getting
counts.
Breakfast. You pointed at Kimberly. Of course Kimberly's here. Karen's got pneumonia. So
yes.
Kimberly's here.
No.
Yeah, so we wish Karen all
Get
the
better,
best.
Karen.
So
yes.
You're not going to... I was going to say, if you're within the sound of my voice, come in for breakfast, but... You know, you're not going to hear this until 11 o'clock Eastern or 8 Pacific.
Nice
8
job,
Pacific.
Nigel.
Anyway.
Yes, it's too bad we're giving away free breakfast today.
Yeah, let me get to some business. We are not. This is the last podcast this week. Obviously, we'll be back Monday to talk about the Super Bowl. And let me talk about the Super Bowl now by telling you we are, of course, open for the Super Bowl. And we have Super Bowl specials. We have 11 television sets. We have bar food. We have 21 taps. We are giving you... $2 off all drafts in your party pint.
Wow.
Oh, snap.
That includes a souvenir Chatter party mug and your first beer. If you've already got one, $2 off all drafts. We free beer. If you join us Super Bowl Sunday to find out how to receive a free party pint and first beer, this is the first 25 people after 5:30. I would get online and say, oh, Tony, it's going to be so cold. No, it's not.
No.
It's going to be
no,
nice.
No, it's not.
Balmy.
It's going to be the 40s or 50s. At 5 o'clock, 5:30 on Sunday
Question
night.
Question for Ron. $2 off all your drafts. So I come in with a bunch of friends. We have, let's say, 40 drafts.
100.
When the bill's over, does he say, okay, you got 40 drafts, you got $2 off on all of them. Oh, $2 off on all of them. Or is it $2 off on each one of them?
I assume it's on each one of them. Ron is here. Is
Ron,
on
$2 off
one?
Of each draft? Or off all of them?
Yes.
Okay, well, that is a great deal.
We have platters of wings to go. You can call up Chatter and ask for Ron. If Ron is not here, ask for Barb or Andrew. If they're
tell
not
me what the
here,
Carol plate.
We're under. Somebody's going to have to be
it's the
here.
Carol plate, right?
Yes.
Platter of wings?
Carol wants a platter of wings to
yeah,
go.
Well, wings are great.
Platter of wings to go, which you can pick up Saturday or Sunday. You call to place an order. The number at Chatter is 202-362-8040. There are details on our website, which I guess is ChatterDC, is our website.
Yes, ChatterDC.com.
Instagram and Facebook. I do not belong or subscribe to the Instagram or the Facebook.
Yeah.
The Facebook. That's all Saturday and Sunday to go. Sunday in here are all of those specials. I will be in here myself. The game is a 6:30 tip. I'm not staying for the game here because I got to go to work. But I'll come in around 5:15, so I will be here if anybody wants to see me and say hello. You
it's
can.
A tight window, 5:15 to 5:30.
I have a question.
No, that's when I'll be
oh, you're not
I'll
leaving.
Be
he'll arrive.
Around. If whilst I was at this wonderful Super Bowl party here at Chatter, if I wanted to, say, purchase a gift card for
no
a friend
can
of
do.
Mine,
you could.
Is that possible?
And a Chatter t-shirt.
And a t-shirt.
Well,
bro.
You'd
how
want
much,
a t-shirt. It's going to be 50.
How much is that t-shirt?
$12.
US.
$12?
Only $12.
Wow.
US From currency. Cole Kaufman in Denver, Colorado, the woman I'm related to by marriage wrote a book. The book is The Great Nonprofit Evaluation Reboot by Elena Harmon. My wife's book is to help assess if when bigs give money to nonprofits to help littles, that the bigs' money is not wasted by the nonprofit. A more detailed explanation can be found in the book. Not sure if this is pod quality, since the book has nothing to do with sports, DC weather, or the Salty the Sea Cat. However, I find it interesting how my wife is your doppelganger, evidenced by both of you are doctors, but not that kind of doctor, went to prestigious East Coast schools. Well, she went to MIT, which is a little bit more prestigious.
She holds a BS in brain and cognitive sciences from MIT.
I hold a BS.
Performed cameos for movies, have a fascination with camels, farm animals, and are fearful of children and toddlers, a big-time Safeway Monopoly players. Recently were injured by slipping on black ice, and now both of you are writers.
Wow.
So this is very, very nice. We have a copy of the book. And he sent us a couple of camels.
Is that the camels also from him? The Moroccan handmade leather camels?
Yes, did he send any real camels?
No.
Yes, he's one out back.
A lunar reconnaissance orbiter camera calendar?
Yes.
Can you explain that? You got that.
Yes, I went over to NASA yesterday, as I tend
to
do.
Well, it is your day job.
Right, it's what I do. Got to keep those spaceships going. And I am leading up the Space Force. A lot of people don't know that.
That's terrific. Ed, Tone, I don't know if you know, it's the sixth branch of our military. Yeah. Mars awaits.
Space Force. But yes, went over to have a chat with him over there, and there's a lot of fans of the show, and they wanted to give you that because they know how fascinated you are with the moon, and these are some fascinating shots of the moon.
I am fascinated with the moon. The moon changes in the sky every single day.
Yes, it
does. It's in a different place every single day. Today, when I went out there at 5:15 in the morning, the moon was, as I looked at the moon, in what I would say the deep southwest corner of the sky. Although that's not exactly true, but it's because actually was a southeast corner.
More southerly than western.
Southeast, because I was looking towards the east where the sun comes up.
Tony, what was the temp?
That's what I'm going to get to. When I left my house today, the temperature that I walked out in was 7 degrees.
Mm.
I put on extra layers. I put on an Under Armour shirt and Under Armour leggings, you know, like long john types of things, but underwear, not
long handles.
Yeah, but not the silk ones. I mean, these were ones that you might use.
That was 5:30 a.m.
5:20 a.m. Okay. Out the door,
and definitely
7
dark
o'clock.
Still at that time, folks.
Oh,
full
ridiculously dark,
dark.
But not a full scuba suit.
But not scuba gear. I didn't have a breathing apparatus.
Did you go face mask?
No
crampons.
Just hat.
I forgot. I had them crampons on yesterday. Yes. I stupidly forgot to put them on today.
Well, you got lucky. So it was too cold for ice.
Very much slower.
Ice can't freeze.
So
in
here's
kind of cold.
What I wanted to say. When I went out with the dog, and the dog is a very furry big dog. The dog is fine.
It's
in
a furry
this
animal.
There was no wind. There was virtually no wind. So I looked at the phone when I got back, and it said it feels like -1, but it felt like 7. I mean, because there was, you know, it was 7. That's what it was 7.
Right.
I'm not recommending everybody go out in this and come back with the same experience I had, but it I was really layered, and it wasn't terrible. Now, Chicago and Des Moines and Minneapolis, terrible. Terrible beyond words. Terrible beyond words. Tough guy Wilbon, Mr. Chicago. You know where he is today? He's in Los Angeles.
Wow, it's chilly.
And
Los
then he's
Angeles
leaving to go to Phoenix,
where
I don't think it's going to get to 7. Not in Phoenix or Los Angeles.
If it does, we're all in trouble.
What was your
So where I was, now I left, I was first outside of my house.
By the way,
Al Roker
on a Coast Guard cutter cutting through the ice on the way to Albany from New York City, wearing a Canada Goose jacket.
Well, we better watch out.
Somebody's going to shoot him. Someone in the Coast Guard's going to take that.
An hour later than you, with the sun not peaking yet above the horizon, but the sun, certainly the glow of the sun showing on the horizon, about 18 miles to the north-northwest of your residence.
Yeah.
I had 6 degrees. Now, this was granted an hour later. I will say this about, you mentioned the moon today, and I'm sure you had the same deal at 5:30.
Bright.
Gorgeous. Brilliant, bright.
Words.
And then
and
just
a star to
what
right
was
lower
that
left.
That's what I wanted to ask. I think it might be Jupiter.
That's not the North Star, or is that Venus?
No, would not be the North Star. The North Star wouldn't be in that
spot. Pretty sure it was Uranus.
Is it Venus?
You know what?
Us?
I'm going to have to Google that. That
no
was
chance.
Just a phenomenal,
well,
phenomenal, beautiful
There was two.
There were two, but
right,
the one sort of south,
lower left,
down left,
lower
was
left.
Is unbelievable.
It, can I
Southeast
ask a, can I, well, I'm going to ask a dumb question. When it is cold and clear.
Is it brighter?
Yes.
I think so.
Okay.
I think
that's
so.
Right. I mean, because it
we'll
certainly
yes
seems as though that
okay,
is
so
the case.
I will tell you this, that I remember for close to 50 years now. When I was in college, I drove across the country from east to west.
Okay.
I returned west to east, but I drove east to west and got to Wyoming and noticed this, you know, because that is the Wyoming area, Wyoming, Idaho, Colorado, out there.
See, a quality state.
That's what the big sky country.
Yeah.
I was amazed. I looked up into the sky, and you are humbled. When you come from the east, you don't see it quite like that.
No.
You're humbled. You realize, oh, my God, I'm nothing
I'm
here.
I'm an ant.
I'm nothing here. I mean, there's a million stars, and because there's no particular industry and
there's
no smokestacks or anything like that, on clear nights, it's really clear.
On a clear night, you can see forever.
It's scary. It's scary
it
how big the sky is.
Update on the planet type situation. In this, looking to the southeast sky 1 hour before sunrise, which is right about what we're talking about here.
Well, I was earlier than that.
90 minutes,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So based on today, today's the 31st of January. So lower left was Venus. Upper,
that's what I said, and you laughed at me.
Basically, you're basically right, Neil Scott Tyson.
I believe he had that.
Upper right was Jupiter.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now tomorrow,
are they that close?
Here gives you a picture. Tomorrow, the moon looks like it will be much lower in the sky when you walk, Chessie.
Right.
To the lower left of that, by about three or four times the distance of Venus, will be Saturn. If you can see it, it'll be down near the horizon.
I would not be able to see that. Yeah. So all the planets are on display.
Venus, a lot of Jupiter, them. Saturn are all available.
So that's not I'm happy to show you Uranus as well.
Venus is what I... yes. You know, nobody can see Uranus.
If you look really, really close,
I'm your Venus.
I learned something about the moon yesterday.
Oh, because
made of
cheese?
Because it was at NASA. And by the way, thanks to Noah Petro, our man at NASA.
That's right.
So, and if you give me that,
would you like to be
official
NASA-hole
of the Tony Kornheiser show?
Like Laika, the space dog.
The space dog.
Would you like to be sent into space?
Sounds like a
book. Brought back. Not like Laika, who I don't know.
There are people I would like to send into space. Is that the same thing?
Right now, I would say no because it would terrify me.
Right.
However, if NASA said, "Look, we really like to send you up there."
Yeah.
I mean, how do you say no to that?
Easy.
I mean,
no. There's a 0% chance I would do that.
There are these little pools that look like frozen water on the moon. And I was like, oh, that's just ice, right? And they said, no, that's lava. That's from volcanoes in the moon. I had no idea that there was volcanic activity in the moon.
I was told.
I don't believe there is.
Millions and millions of years ago.
I was told this story yesterday about Shaquille O'Neal. That Shaquille apparently went on the air and he said, "I don't really understand this. When I stand up at night and I look outside my house, I can see the moon so far away, but I can't see California from my house."
Well, that's because the Earth is flat.
And he said, "But I can drive to California."
Mm-hmm.
And then
Chris Webber
apparently said, "Well, why don't you try to drive to the moon and see how that works out?" That's funny. So yesterday I got to the PTI show and I told the people about Chris Ullman.
Oh, right.
Our world champion wrestler who was here.
World champion.
And how astonishing his particular talent was to me. And, of course, I don't know how to do this because I don't subscribe to the YouTube. But Kelleher went right to YouTube and started playing Chris Ullman videos of him whistling.
Oh, wow.
And the reaction from the kids who work at PTI at first, it's exactly what you expect. They sort of laugh at first because they think, what is this? This is so dorky.
Well, notionally,
20 seconds in, they're going,
amazing.
Wow.
Incredible.
Yeah. Right. It's astonishing. Yeah.
So did you guys like that?
I did. Chris, you should have been here.
I just wasn't invited.
I didn't want to keep asking him to perform for. I didn't think
that. He was willing. Yeah, but you don't want to do that.
No.
You know?
Ask my kid the lineup of the 1972 Pirates.
Do the mail there.
Did think it would have been great if we could have gotten him to sing Whistle Inagata De Vida. I think he was looking forward to doing
sure
that.
I'm sure he could have done it.
I'm sure he could do it.
Likes a challenge.
I know he could. I know he could.
Did anyone else try whistling all afternoon after that show?
I don't know how to whistle.
He does not know how.
I didn't have whistle envy. All right, so I guess we should get out of here now. Bring Chuck Todd on when we return. I don't really have a beginning. I was going to blast Roger Goodell. It's just so easy. I'll just say this. I mean, my position on Goodell is very simple. If that's all you're going to say 10 days after the worst call that anybody has ever seen, if all you're basically going to say is, you know, we know it was bad, we're looking into ways to stop it, but it's a game that's played on the field and we don't really want to interfere too much. If that's all you're going to say, which is, by the way, fine, why didn't you say it Sunday night?
Correct.
Well, I mean, if that's what you're going to say, the notion that you said, well, we called up the coach right away. So what? What you spent? I watched that entire press conference. So it's like an hour long. I can't tell you how many times he talked about, and I'm quoting now, our great fans. If they're so great, don't you owe them that much?
You would think.
Don't you owe them just to say, hey, we got it wrong. We're not going to change it now. We're going to look in the future to try to not get it wrong. But hey, we got it. If that's all you're going to say, and by the way, I'm not saying that's not enough. I'm not. Just say it then. It's so arrogant to wait this long. It's so amazingly arrogant, and it speaks to that. And it doesn't speak like some people say that he works for the owners. And all commissioners work for owners. No, that's not it at all. Other commissioners would have stood up and said, "This is what happened," and he didn't, and he doesn't.
And you know,
he doesn't.
The one thing I wanted to hear was some I mean, I guess there are no assurances, but
just talk to the Saints.
Like, what? Say something to us to let us feel like, okay, we don't have to worry about that, something like that happening this week. Don't let something like that decide this game.
It's just, and the people that go on television and radio and print, and they just say, well, what do you expect them to do? You know, and they apologize for him, and they say it's unreasonable for
poor
people
guy.
To say, you know, give us a little. You don't have to give us any more. Just give it to us at the appropriate time.
If you're gonna say
that's
nothing,
all.
Say it right afterwards.
Just say it right then.
Yep.
Nobody expects you to have an answer.
We're on to Cincinnati. We're on to Cincinnati.
Yeah. All right. That's enough of me. That's enough of me, Chuck Todd. When we return, to pick a game, and I think. A couple of questions maybe about Elizabeth Schultz and a quote by Elizabeth Howard Schultz and a quote by Elizabeth Warren that I think everyone should be aware of. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is my favorite ad. This is the Lowe's ad. Why is it my favorite ad? It's short. It's well written. It's to the point.
V20, baby.
And it makes me say things that are totally not true for me, but they could be true for you.
I hope that this ad addresses runtime because I'm pretty focused on that.
It does. Well, let me give you an alert when we get to it.
10-second Tom.
Lowe's is my new go-to destination where I can explore the latest innovative Craftsman products, including their new V20 power tool battery platform. Craftsman's V20 cordless power tool lineup features a high-capacity lithium battery that's part of Craftsman's interchangeable battery system. So it works with all the tools in their V20 lineup. Chris, pay special attention to this clause.
Sure.
Giving you the runtime you need and the power you deserve.
Well, yeah. I do
that's
deserve
for Chris.
It.
The one battery system works on multiple products, making the V20 lineup easy to use and versatile. It's either versatile or versatile. Sometimes I like to say versatile. The V20 brushless power tools, all of them, proudly made in the United States. They're global materials, but they're put together in Charlotte, North Carolina, which the last time I looked was still in the United States. All have brushless motors, although there is some feeling to the contrary every once in a while. All have brushless motors delivering high efficiency, better runtime, Chris, more power and greater durability for all of your projects. Notice I didn't say mine, because mine come with a worker man. You can explore the entire Craftsman V20 lineup at your local Lowe's store, or you can visit Lowe's.com/Tony. That's Lowe's.com/Tony. Lowe's, the new home of Craftsman.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a song called Hard on Yourself. This is the newest single by Nick Bowen. It is available now on Exquisite Noise Records. Nick Bowen, we've played him before.
Yes, we've played him.
He goes under a variety of names.
Yes, aliases, I think we call them.
Yes.
Alii.
That's
not right. That's correct.
Very nice.
Yes.
Hard on Yourself. Very nice. Don't want to ever discourage people from sending stuff in that's, you know, for the mailbag jingle that's funny and sort of croaking and not necessarily singing. Don't want to discourage that at all.
Yeah.
But the stuff that we play during the body of the show.
Just brilliant.
Chuck Todd joins us now. This is Chuck Todd's last pick of this season. We're going to extend to Chuck the ability to come back next season because Chuck's record right now is 63-57-3. And even if he misses this, the worst he's going to be is +5 for the year. The best he can be is +7 for the year, which means if you bet down the line with Chuck Todd, and we gave him games, not like Jeff Ma, who picked his own games. If you bet down the line with Chuck Todd, you made money.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
I was betting $10,000 a unit. So thank you, Chuck.
Simple as that.
There you go. Can you just take that football and really spike it onto Jeff Ma?
Yes.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe he was trash talking me the other day.
Yeah. You're +6 right now over the course of the entire season.
That prognostication may have even earned Chuck a spot as a March Madness bracket picker. We'll have to see how that pans out.
All right, so
yeah. Well, I thought I was redefining Phil's mom's low. The last time I participated.
I believe really Michael bad. Kornheiser and I tend to define the bottom.
The Super Bowl itself is the line is, if I assume this is still the line, 2.5 New England minus 2.5 over the Rams. Yeah. I'm just going to say this.
Total 56.
We've had two people on the PTI show, two guests in the last 2 days. Peter King the other day and Steve Young yesterday. And I think they know something about football. Both people, without hesitation, have said the Rams have more talent than the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Both, just flat out, the Rams have more talent. Than Steve Young said this is not even close in terms of talent. So it's interesting. The betting line does not necessarily reflect anything but the will of the people who are betting. Right, Chuck? That's how that works.
That's how it works. That's what markets. It reminds me, and maybe this is going too far back, but remember that Giants-Ravens Super Bowl in 2000? I think that was that one, right? It was 2000.
Yes.
And the Giants were favored, and it made no sense. I remember at the time it made no sense, but it was mostly because, well, New York, and nobody knew anything about the Ravens, right? At that time, I think they were only like a year and a half old.
Well, like, it was Dilfer, and they've been winning games like 12-7 right, all
yeah.
season.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And yet, I remember thinking, boy, that feels like, you know, got to love this defense and all this stuff. And that's how I kind of feel about this line. I just feel like the line's wrong. And I love the idea, I'll be honest with what I'm going to try to do, is I love the idea that you can tease this through the 7 points, right? Hmm. You can tease this up to 8.5 really easy. And I love that. I financially, I'm all over the Rams. I'm going to take them here at the 2.5 because I feel the same way. It's like, my God, you're getting points of the better team. I know that come 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter, when Brady has the ball,
you're going to sweat.
Or Goff throws, more importantly, Goff throws a pick six to end the game. Well, I'm going to say, see, I knew it, of course. You know, the Rams are better at every spot on the ball except quarterback.
Yeah.
And so, and that's not insignificant. But I just, something tells me that we'll know in the first quarter. If Ngakoue and Sue or Donald get to Brady and sack him early, and they sack him in that first quarter, I think it means the Rams defense is showing up, and I think
this
it means
is exactly...
we're going to see the Rams. But so, if they protect him early and you see they can't get to him, then we'll know.
So in the playoffs, I read Brady in 90 dropbacks has been hit once.
Well...
But that's what it comes down to. And you don't even have to hit him. If you're at his feet.
Yeah, this is what Steve Young said yesterday. He mentioned Darnold and Sue, and he said if they get to him, it's over. It's just absolutely over. And those guys are really good.
Yeah.
They're really good. They're overpowering players, mm-hmm. right? Don't you think? I do.
I do. I mean, especially – and the thing is, though, you don't know what Sue shows up.
That's
right?
What Steve Young said, too.
Right, he's kind of a big game guy.
It's a boy name.
I guess. If you can't show up for the Super Bowl, what other game is going to fire you?
So this is interesting. Can I go off topic for a second with you?
By the way, my favorite prop bet.
Yes.
You can get on my little area. I can get a +1200 if purple is the color of the Gatorade that is dumped. Or excuse me, the color of the liquid that is dumped.
All right, jotting that down.
Purple. What do we think of that?
Purple Gatorade at +1200.
Yeah, I like those odds. Why not?
These prop bets.
I think purple is a hot color. I have no doubt that that McVay is sort of youthful and he's going to have a more interesting color of his Gatorade, right?
So I want to ask you, can I just ask you a couple of political questions, if you don't mind?
Obviously, since my prop bet jokes went nowhere.
Yeah.
I thought you were serious.
And your phone is terrible. Your phone.
It was a serious prop.
Yeah.
Chuck, are you currently on a helicopter?
Popping. Your phone is totally popping. Where are you?
I'm in my house.
Palatial estate.
Wow.
Yeah,
your phone is popping. Yeah.
Can you go to the other wing of the mansion?
it's just literally
do we need
popping.
To call back?
Yeah, you want me to try and call back?
Call
him right
back.
We can fill in the meantime.
That's sleepy.
Who do you like in the Super Bowl, Chris?
I like the Tampa Bay Lightning. Thank you, Gary.
They're not playing.
I'm for the Patriots because I like I'm really rooting for
they're your local team.
You hate the Patriots, I thought.
No, I'm rooting for them because I want more Belichick in front of a microphone.
Yeah.
I don't really care who wins. I think like my kids will root for the Rams. I just want more Belichick. I mean, he's every moment when he is in front of a microphone is gold. Okay. And now I have tap danced.
Nice job.
Really well done.
And story of my life, let me hand it off to Chuck Todd.
All right, so I wanted to ask you just a couple of questions. Howard Schultz announcing for something or other is getting absolutely crushed. Do you think, I mean, my feeling is he had to expect this. He wants to get this out there early so that people will forget that he's getting crushed this terribly by every Democratic player.
I am shocked at how badly he's getting crushed.
Whoa.
I think it told me a couple things. Number one, electability is going to matter in the Democratic primary. And I think I've been wondering this. The lesson I'm taking away is, number one, Democrats are going to care about that more so than maybe we realize. So I think, remember, there in 2004, when Howard Dean took off, suddenly Democrats said, uh-oh, we got to worry about electability, right? And it became a dated Dean, married Kerry routine. And suddenly when I watched the reaction, saying, okay, Democrats care, number one, first and foremost, about winning, pure and simple. So that to me is one thing I learned. The second, with Schultz in particular, and one thing I think people need to understand is he has been trying to find a way to run for president for a couple of years now. And he's probably met with every single Democratic operative in Washington one way or the other, all of whom have access to media, and all of whom sat there when he did this and started trashing them and going, wait a minute, so I think there was a little bit of this personal anger at him going, I met with you about this and told you to run as a Democrat and told you to run. So there was, I think, some people unloaded on him because they took it personally.
Uh-huh.
I'll say this with Schultz. I thought he had a poor rollout. I think there is room for somebody like him. I think this country could pull a Macron moment. What I mean by that is this. In France, frustration over their largest parties boiled over to the point, and they're more likely to do this than our country, just because of the way European politics is. But Macron won over there, that French president, basically out of nowhere. You know, he basically came out of nowhere at part, and it was a campaign of, you know, aren't you tired of all of this crap? You know, let's try something different, something new. I actually think that this country, that message has a possibility of being appealing in the right moment, in the right time, depending on what the Democrats do and all this stuff. But you've got to lay the foundation for that. And Schultz really didn't. He just came out and said, I'm a Democrat, but I can't get nominated, so I want to tactically run as an independent. And that's not the way to do this. If you're really going to do this, you've got to lay the predicate that both parties are done. Both parties are broken. And you're the way to try to get them to finally see the light.
Okay. And I have one follow-up question. As Elizabeth Warren vaults to the top of my I cannot stand this person list. This is a direct quote that I watched today on NBC. Elizabeth Warren saying, capitalism without rules is theft. That is saying that every single person, to me, it is saying every single person out there who wants to start a small business or a large business or wants to do anything that is not funded completely by the government is a thief at heart. I mean, how can you make that statement? Capitalism without rules is theft. What?
This is her campaign. Now, she will likely claim that what she means by the comment is when she's referring to, you know, how the financial markets work and things like that. And that's what she means, that when capitalism needs new rules and all of this stuff. But let me tell you a bigger problem that I think the Democrats need to realize that they have. In 2017 and 2018, they started to get a lot of support from former Republicans, right? And they won a bunch of House races with a whole bunch of former Republicans voting for Democratic members of Congress, places like Kansas and Texas and all over. And these new voting members have money, okay? They're wealthier. They came from the suburbs, right? This realignment of the suburbs into the Democratic Party is going to make for an awkward, I think, Democratic primary when you have this race to the left of Bernie and Warren in particular, who do want to rewrite the rules of capitalism in ways that will scare the bejesus out of upper middle class America. And that is, I wonder if, you know, no matter how much you don't like Donald Trump, if he's not reaching into your pocket, is that enough for you to at least, you know, vote for him, right? And if Warren's a nominee and it's turned into a class warfare type of thing, right? A rich versus, and it's that aspect, I think Democrats risk losing the never Trump voter, right? And then that would open up the door for Howard Schultz, or frankly, I think somebody else who would be a better
version of Howard Schultz, but it would open the door for somebody to try to wedge in the middle there. And that, by the way, is the Schultz calculus, right? That Warren alienates people like you, Tony.
Why? It's just an unbelievable statement
to me. Who don't like it and think, I don't like Trump either. You know what? Give me a third alternative.
Yeah, I mean, if I want to start a podcast. Oh, you can't. You're a thief. If you do well, you know, no, you did something wrong. You're an immoral human being. I don't know. I'm taking it perhaps too literally, but it just frosted me this morning.
Well, welcome to American politics. She needs to be careful. Everything gets taken literally these days. You know, the thief comment, what you just said, I imagine that line will get thrown back in her face over and over again.
Yeah, at least with Trump. I mean, the one thing I would say about Trump is Trump ran by saying, everybody in the world who isn't me is stupid, and I'm running against them. I'm running against everybody and everything, and he got actually elected. I mean, he's Macron in that sense, don't you think?
Well, I do think he was, yes, a disruptive force, but he and Bernie, you know, it's funny, I always said he and Bernie were sort of collectively, they both found two dead carcasses on the side of the road. One was a donkey and one was an elephant, and they both reanimated it in their own vision. But they were, neither Bernie or Donald even wanted to be Democrat or Republican, right?
Right.
They just wanted to run for president, and they found there's a carcass, I can reanimate that, let's go. And Trump's created a Frankenstein version of the Republican Party, and you could argue that what's going to happen on the left here with Sanders is he's inspiring a sort of a reanimated Frankenstein version of the Democratic Party.
That's all we need. Thank you, Chuck. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Enjoy the game.
Oh, meet the press with Chuck on Sunday.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that.
Okay.
Super Bowl day, meet the press. Yeah. Everybody should watch. All right. Did I want to say anything else?
That's a you question. I can't
answer
that.
I don't know that I did. I wanted to go later in the show before asking people who would win the Super Bowl, but that's been
preempted. About
that. Thanks a lot, Gary.
It's been preempted. I'm going to get out of here.
I asked Alyssa.
Is Reginald not going to pick the
game? I forgot. Reginald's minus -6 on the year. I thought we weren't going to let. Oh, we're going to let him? That's wonderful. Give us Reginald.
See the monkey, he's scratching, watching his iPad, smoking and laughing, hanging with Bud Grant, tapping on his purple latte.
Whistle it, Chris.
Nigel's going to the zoo. Wow. Reginald's got the bites by two. Sometimes he throws poo. When he's had too much Johnny Walker Blue.
So this is.
So Liz is sneaky good at whistling.
I'm a good whistler.
This is particularly.
Semi-pro.
I've read that.
We have not a world
not
champion.
Not pro, no.
Yeah. The one thing about Reginald, even though Reginald is minus -6 for the year and cannot get to .500, in the playoffs, Reginald's 8-3.
Yeah,
he's 8-3 in
prime
the playoffs.
Time player.
Did you talk to him about that?
I did. I went down to the zoo, and I thought he'd be there.
Cold.
With the shutdown of the government, he actually left town.
Mm. Oh.
Well, he's probably somewhere warm.
Sure.
No, he Skyped with me from Blue Earth, Minnesota, where he was hanging out with Bud Grant, outside grilling some hot dogs and kielbasa in shorts and a t-shirt. So they took some time off to go to the game. And he just held up a nice photograph of him on a duck boat. And this is several years ago. This is in Boston with Victor Kiam on the boat.
Victor Kiam used to own them.
Greg Kite. And a man who appeared to be Whitey Bulger. So clearly he's got ties to the Patriots. He will take the Patriots and lay the 2.5. He also had some prop bets. Will Romo or Nance say Hotlanta during the game? He said no.
Oh,
Nance is just, he's going to say hello, friends.
Yes, he's not going to touch that. That's $10,000 to win $100, by the way, that bet. Will Adam...
Hotlanta?
Yes. No. Will he say hello, friends?
Oh, hello, friends.
Hello, friends.
Will Adam Levine be shown wearing a hat? He said yes, he will be, because he thinks it's going to be cold. Who will score more points? Who will score more points? The Patriots or Caleb Stewart in his game versus Albany on Saturday?
That's a
weird prop.
He's going to take Caleb Stewart in this one.
That's not a prop.
He loves going against the Great Danes of Albany.
Yeah.
And the last time was the over-under how many times Coach Ted Rath will be mentioned. He is the get-back coach of the Rams.
He's McVay's get-back guy.
He's supposed to hold him from getting onto the field. The over-under is 3.5. He's going to take the under on that.
If I was Adam Levine and there was a bet about me, I would look at what the bet was and I'd load up on it.
Right.
Yes, 100%. Wear a hat.
Well, yes. Nance and Romo, too. There's like a how many plays will Romo correctly predict?
Zero.
Bet.
Did you see?
Because he'll say, I'm not doing it.
The Wall Street Journal did a piece in which they watched 46 hours of Romo commentary over this year to try to get an exact percentage of what he got exactly
right.
It was
like 68. Oh, okay, sorry.
Thunder Stealer.
No, you asked if we had seen it. You started that with a question. You said,
he's right 68% of the time he calls it. I don't know. Ask Gary. Apparently he's read the story.
Well, that would account for a 68% completion rate, right? Which is probably around where he was.
All right, we'll take a break. And when we come back, we will do news.
Yes, that's right, news.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Good news, by the way. People are wandering into Chatter for breakfast, having pancakes.
I think it's accidental.
Make us
is there heat
happy.
In here?
This is Sam McNeil, and this is a song called Hometown. This is written to us by Craig McQuillan, who says he's known Sam McNeil. That's his stage name for 20-odd years, but he's not yet a man and doesn't really follow Washington, D.C. sports, traffic, or weather. From his current abode in Nigel's hometown of London, England.
There we go.
My love of music and a strong desire to support him is behind my submission. He's honestly too busy flying around the world writing and recording songs in 5 minutes, helping people connect through music in his job with a company called Song Division.
Hmm.
This is hometown. It's really beautiful. Michael, if you want to send in original music, be it yours or somebody else's, but if it is somebody else's, you need to send permission from them, or we're not going to play it.
Yes.
This is beautiful.
Is this lovely?
Yeah,
this is beautiful.
Yes, it really is.
Michael, if people have talent like Sam McNeil,
Email us your music by sending it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com. And before you ask, we have another few days with the Johnny O promo code of SuperTK. Our current deal runs out with them after the Super Bowl. Look for more stuff in the spring, but definitely take advantage of that this weekend. We know you'll be stuck inside, so pick out some warm weather clothes.
I want to get some shirts.
I'll help you do that.
I want to get some shirts. I'd like to do that. All right. This is news. Go ahead.
Yes, indeed, Mr. Tony. And today's newscast is brought to you by Ned Ryerson's Insurance. Ned. He's got that for you.
Ned? Bing. Ned Ryerson?
Mr. Tony, well, speaking of Bing, we will start off with Binghamton and the Bearcats.
Got bombed.
After letting up 44 points in the first half, they said, we've got to buckle down and really get tough on defense.
So what did they do?
That paid off. They held them just 42 points in the
That's
second half.
Great.
Unfortunately, they lose to the Hartford Hawks 86-60, dropping to 6-16 on the season. I believe somebody from the Hartford Hawks set a school record for three-pointers, 6 3-pointers.
Get on him.
Yes, somebody's
got to
cover him.
That's what I would have said. Do your job.
That's coaching right there. Guard him.
Yes, and Sam the Sham.
First,
Sesame.
I would have said, who's that guy? Somebody guard
might
him.
Might want to put a body on that guy.
Yeah. Sam the Sham. Sesames led all the Bearcats with 22 points.
He's having a good year.
He is having a good year. The Big Potato and Off Night, just 1 of 10 from the floor.
You don't go into the XL Center and just
it's
walk
tough.
Out with a big
potato.
Is that
in Hartford?
I don't know that that's where Hartford plays, but that's where that's the
is that for extra
quote
large?
Unquote big arena in Hartford. Okay. Yes, the XL Center.
Okay.
Used to be the Hartford Civic Center. Did you ever cover anything
there,
Tom? Yes, I did.
Yeah, Whalers Cats.
Yeah, the Whalers. Yes.
No, I never covered Whalers. They used to actually put a floor down and have tennis matches there.
Oh, really? I saw Torval and Dean there with my mom.
Of course
so
she
they had
did.
Ice skating.
They had a mall.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I've been there. The roof collapsed on that thing.
Yes,
once.
It did.
I remember,
that was a big moment. That and the Mianus River Bridge collapse were like the two big moments of my childhood.
Too bad
Sorry.
Solicited didn't have floor seats. When I
wow. Wow.
To the NBA, Mr. Tony. Big win by the Washington Wizards last night, 107-89 over the Pacers.
Victor Oladipo going out for the Pacers. They're now 0-3.
Yeah, they're done.
They're going to fall. The Wizards are going to, they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Even without John Wall, they're going to go 7 or 8. They're going to make the playoffs. You know the biggest surprise in the East is the Nets.
Yes.
Yes.
Sneaky good.
The Nets,
D'Angelo
the
Russell
Nets have already won as many games this year as they won all of last year.
Wow.
And D'Angelo Russell, a guy that the Lakers couldn't stand and wanted to get rid of, he looks like an all-star.
And Spencer Dinwiddie, a guy who you hadn't heard of, is
not
averaging 20 points a game.
The Nets are doing great. I have no idea who coaches them. I have no idea who else is on the roster. But they've made a big move up.
Are they still owned by the Russian, or did he get rid of them?
Yes. Prokhorov, that's
right.
Yep. The Pacers are still going to make it. I mean,
I don't know.
Well, they're 30.
They're 0-3.
Well, they're,
but, Tony, so listen to this.
Yeah.
10-22 would get them to 42-40.
Okay, how about 0-32 because they're 0-3 without
that wouldn't work. Oh, but you know who's on? I don't know that you can extrapolate that far out. I think they might win a game.
You know, they haven't yet.
The Nets lineup, which I just looked up,
I don't know anybody.
Caris LeVert is on that team.
Don't know who he is.
Oh, sure.
Joe Harris, who was on UVA.
Oh, yeah,
you remember that guy?
Yeah, I remember.
Right.
Bounced around the league for a few years.
Shabazz Napier from Connecticut.
Right,
you remember him, the Connecticut guard.
Yep.
Theo Pinson went to UNC. Rondae Hollis Jefferson went to Arizona. And Ed Davis. It's kind of like a lot of pieces.
A lot of NBA teams are like
that.
Must
be a pretty good coach.
Yeah.
There must be a pretty good coach
Hold on.
Because they have won as many games this year.
Kenny Atkinson.
Okay.
Kenny Atkinson.
This is his first year, right? Or maybe he was interim last year?
Head coach since 2016.
Enough with the
details. He's doing a great job. He is.
Yeah, he absolutely is. Looks like the Pelicans are trying to scrub history or at least eliminate any reference to Anthony Davis. This, of course, comes a few days after his agent came out and said he'd like to be traded.
They fined Anthony Davis for this.
50 grand,
right?
They
didn't fine LeBron. They didn't fine Chris, what's his name? The
Chris
agent.
Paul?
No.
Oh, Rich Paul.
Rich Paul. They didn't fine him. They find Anthony Davis. LeBron's writing the check on that.
Yeah, it doesn't it seem like LeBron is tampering all over the place with this stuff?
Tampering and colluding. Including.
Yes, there was no collusion.
Yes. No collusion.
It's total collusion.
So in the Pelicans. But
where's Mueller on this one?
Well, yeah.
No collusion. Witch hunt.
Yeah.
Yes. Apparently in the Pelicans pregame hype video.
They erased him from
yes,
the video.
Yes. They completely
erased
him.
Now they say they did it. Because they were afraid of a negative reaction towards him. He's there. He's dressed. He's not dressed in uniform, but he's on the sidelines and stuff like that. I think.
But
I don't
that's
know.
It then.
Just did it to protect.
I mean, that means you can't ever play again for them, right? If you don't trade him before the trade deadline,
February
he can't 7th. Play for the rest
but
of the year.
But there's another
that
story that they're not taking calls. That they're like not answering calls about trade offers.
They want to wait.
You know who is taking calls? Chatter. For a bucket of wings platter of wings that you can take out. We're taking calls.
Super Bowl 53 party right here. Chatter.
Yeah. Go ahead.
How many TVs are here?
11, I believe.
11 TVs. 11
even
with
dozen.
Full sound and about five that don't work,
well,
I guess.
You know.
I've already booked my Super Bowl 54 plans.
That's what you need to do.
Yeah.
Yes, we will go to the Washington Redskins. They've made an interesting hire. It's sure to put them over the top.
Unbelievable hire.
Rob Ryan.
Wait, so let me get to this. Rob Ryan is a very famous
just the
and
foot
large
guy?
Presence.
Is he the foot guy?
No, that's the other one. Edelman's finest hour.
Rex Ryan is the foot guy. I don't know that Rob Ryan has ever been a head coach, but Rob and Rex
not
Ryan, who are twin brothers, Rob Ryan is a big strapping guy. He's a moose.
Yeah.
And he's been a defensive coordinator a lot of places in this league. And he is not a shrinking violet. And the Redskins hired him not to coach all the linebackers, just the inside linebackers. I don't know who the defensive coordinator is on the Redskins.
Greg Minuski. Tony.
He's going to get punched in the throat by the second week of training camp. Rob, this is not going to work. Rob Ryan is not going to accept this very menial status on a bad team without hitting somebody.
So I would offer perhaps that's design. Let me take you back.
They don't want Greg
Minuski.
Let me
take you back a couple of weeks when the Redskins.
They were offering that job to people.
Exactly right. We're trying to get in Todd Bowles. I think we're trying to get Greg Williams.
Gary, was the reporting correct that Minuski sat in on those meetings?
Yes, that was the reporting.
That's
I can't
grim.
Confirm it, but yes, they had.
Hey, what do you think about this guy to replace you?
And the pitch was they were just trying to pick brains and get some ideas, and they went hard at a couple of guys who had head coaching experience. So
I'm spitballing here. Would you take the defensive coordinator?
I had the same reaction to you. It's like if the Redskins' inside linebackers have two good games in a row, Minuski's out the door.
So the other thing they did the other day, they hired a 33-year-old kid, and then to be their offensive coordinator. And this hire can be explained in two sentences. Oh, we let Sean McVay go, and he's 33,
this
and he's in the
young.
Super Bowl. Let's take somebody who's 33. Let's take a 33-year-old right now.
Seems like a good
That's
idea.
Insane.
Played under Tom Brady.
Lincoln Riley having a very good year.
Looking and forward to my 33 birthday.
Yeah, you can be. You can be
big day for you.
Yeah, OC. Lincoln Riley gets a new deal from the University of Oklahoma, bumping his salary up from $4.8 million to $6
million. He's 35.
Yeah, doing well.
$6 million. Wait, there's a clause in that contract. Every year he stays, he gets a bonus of $700,000 just to stay. That's his bonus.
Bonus, not a raise.
That's his bonus, $700,000 to stay.
Yes.
I don't know how long he's going to stay. But let me say this now, and it will haunt me. You can bring it back to me anytime you want. He has produced two Heisman Trophy winners in a row, Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray. Hmm? Jalen Hurts, who we think can't pass. We think he can't pass. We saw it at Alabama. Jalen Hurts is going to spend 1 year as the quarterback at Oklahoma. If Lincoln Riley can teach Jalen Hurts, who does not get intercepted much, just doesn't go down the field, game manager with his passing.
Check down guy.
If he can get him to where he's marginal as sort of a pro prospect, he's going to win another Heisman. And at that moment, every single team in the NFL that's not coached by either Bill Belichick, Sean Payton,
or Sean McVay
is going to offer him $10 million a year. That's what they're going to do.
Yeah. And he'll just walk away from the $700K bonus for that?
I think. $10 million.
Exactly. When you say you don't know how long he's going to stay, it's because the NFL would come coming, right? I mean, he's not going to leave Oklahoma for a college job.
There's no point. Right. There's no point in doing
that. Maryland's filled that position, so he's not coming here, right?
Yeah, not going to go to his alma mater.
Now, you wanted to discuss the transfer rules?
Yes, there's a transfer rule in place in college football now that usually forces a person to sit out a year when they transfer from one program to another. It's been in place for 100 years. In recent years, things have changed. They have made exceptions, various exceptions. One exception is the graduate transfer. This is how Russell Wilson left North Carolina State mm-hmm. and played immediately at Wisconsin. This is how Jalen Hurts is going to play immediately.
Because he graduated in 3 years, right?
Right, Jalen Hurts. That happens. There's a guy at Ohio State named Tate somebody or other.
Tate Martell.
Okay, so he's recruited by Ohio State, and he's recruited by Urban Meyer, and he's coached. What's the new head coach's first name? It's Ray is his last name.
Ryan Day, I think it is.
Ryan Day. Yes. Okay, so he's coached by Ryan Day this past year because Ryan Day's the offensive coordinator, and he's the quarterback guy. So he's coaching this guy, Tate Martell, and he probably doesn't think all that much of him because he took somebody else in as a transfer, So Tate Martell originally says, I'm not going anywhere. I love Ohio State. And who's this guy? You know, I'm competition for this guy. That lasted an hour and a half, and he decided he wanted to go to Miami. Now, he can't go as a graduate transfer. He can't. He's not a graduate. But he applied under it's not a hardship rule. I'm using hardship
as
in a generic way.
Not as a, right.
And he said, look, I was recruited by Urban Meyer. I went to play for Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer left the school. I think I should be allowed to leave and play right away. And they are mulling over whether this should be true. If it is true, anybody can leave and play right away anywhere in the country. That because this is a ridiculous thing. Because stop. Yeah. Just stop.
Right.
This
I was recruited by
logic.
Tony. I thought he was nice. He was mean.
Yeah.
I want to
go somewhere else. Now, I believe that in most cases, you should be able to leave on Wednesday and play on Thursday. You didn't go to Ohio State because you wanted an academic degree from Ohio State. You went for the coach. Athletes go for coaches. That's why they go. Athletes who think of themselves as pro quality go for coaches, not for schools.
Right.
They go for the coach. If Mike Krzyzewski left Duke tomorrow, a lot of people wouldn't go to Duke. And Duke's a great school. They wouldn't do it. The only exception I would make, and this is I'll finish the segment on this. The only exception I would make is I would not let you transfer immediately within the conference.
Yeah,
because if you look at the SEC, everybody who's ever coached for Nick Saban becomes a head coach in the SEC. Of course they do. That's poaching. If you take the kid with you, you know, that's not a good idea. I think you have to sit. But there's 100 other programs that you can go to. If this kid is leaving the Big Ten, Ohio State, for the SEC, or for the ACC. Miami,
yep.
Fine. Why would you force him to sit out a year under any conditions? Why?
The only condition I would put on that for sitting out is, and you alluded to this, and it's not conference, it would be coach. You can't go with the coach. If you do, you have to sit out a year. Coach can't.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because the coach
recruits.
Can't move the team with him.
You should not be able to do that to go with the coach. Because at that point,
but anywhere else you should be able
everybody
to go
would be given new jobs once they had a good recruiting.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, because Martell thought, you know, justifiably that he'd be the start next year after Haskins went pro.
That's right.
And this kid Justin Fields transfers, and they're like, oh, he's going to be
transfers in because Ryan Day wants him.
Yeah, yeah. And he was also not going to play at Georgia because the other guy's playing ahead of him. So yeah,
Jake
let the kids play. Yeah, let the kids play.
All right, that's it. We will have Old Guy Radio when we return.
That's right.
And Jeff Ma will be folded into Old Guy Radio when we return, so we will get his pick. If he may not have a pick. He may not. He may not like the line.
He won't be able to. He can't stay away.
No, he can't stay away.
He'll find something.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All right, then. Turn up your speaker, Dad. This is the Sonos home sound system.
I'm so sorry. I was getting up to leave. I apologize.
Just trying to kill my read from
I'm
the
so
jump.
I'm so sorry.
So the Sonos Playbase will put you at the center of all your favorite TV shows and movies. Imagine that. You have the product we're reading for.
I have it.
Now, they have a series of questions that I will answer. How has the Playbase changed the way that you and your family enjoy watching sports and TV at home? What's so great is I'll fold this into the setup process. Setup couldn't be easier. It's as easy as opening the box and connecting to Wi-Fi. Now, how has it changed the way
I'm
that my family...
With the mention of Wi-Fi, yeah, I'm going.
Well, you'll get further lost in what I have to say next. How does it change the way that my family watches sports and TV at home? What's so great is my baby boy Bootsy is at the stage where he likes to push every button in sight.
Yes.
And invariably, he pushes the button that turns off the system and disconnects it from your TV.
When Bootsy leaves the house and I put on the TV, there's no sound because he has pushed everything.
It's like the Hot Pocket joke. It's either scalding hot or... frozen solid.
Yeah.
And then you come back 2 weeks later and you realize Dad has been watching movies at, let's just say, beyond 11 in terms of that overall volume.
Yeah.
So we have the Sonos One.
Well, I can't hear anymore.
That's a different issue.
Yeah.
We have the Sonos One, and this is a pint-sized speaker that really brings us all together in the kitchen, whether I am prepping dinner, cutting vegetables, or watching the little kid play in the playroom just outside. It brings us together. When he's fussy, we turn on An Innocent Warrior from Moana, his favorite soundtrack, and we can do this all through our voice because it's voice-activated and connected to our Alexa and our Spotify.
Same for me.
Do I have that capability in my house?
You do have your capability.
Well, I didn't know that and don't know how to do it.
I'm happy to help lead you through that.
Terrific.
You can be like Walker, where I have to have special playlists to just calm you down at mealtime.
That's right.
Yeah, well.
Sound quality is fantastic for the Sonos, for the Playbase, and for the Sonos One. You're going to be surprised that you get a full room sound from just one system. And what's great is it lets you grow, so you can keep adding speakers as your house grows or as you become more and more comfortable with the technology. To learn more about Sonos and the Sonos sound systems, go to Sonos.com. That's Sonos.com.
Good job, Michael.
Thanks, Dad.
Glad I stayed for that.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Drift Away by Dobie Gray. This is Old Guy Radio for the day. I love this song. I love it. And one of the reasons, well, the reason we're playing it, Nigel, and inform the people why we're playing, because it harks back to something that happened yesterday.
Yes, we found out the guitarist Reggie Young passed away, and we weren't overly familiar with Reggie, but it turns out he played on a number of really amazing songs, including this one where he plays the guitar intro. And so we thought, well, we'll pay a little homage.
Dobie Gray had two big hits. He had this and The In Crowd.
The In Crowd, yes.
And they're completely different songs.
They are.
You know, and these were his two big hits.
This was originally written for a guy named John Henry Kurtz, and it really didn't do much.
Howie Kurtz's dad?
I think it's Howie Kurtz's
that's
father,
right.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
And then Dobie Gray recorded it, and it was hit number 5. So it was a big hit for him. And there you go. That's the critical commentary. That's fine. It's a beautiful song.
Yeah, I like the song very much. Is Jeff Ma with us?
He is indeed.
Let me explain the deal with Jeff Ma, who has the wonderful podcast Bet the Process, and whose partner in that, Rufus Peabody, got hosed.
Out of a million dollars.
Jeff Ma was 1-1 the last time we spoke for the playoff games. Jeff Ma is 45-36-1. That is plus 9. He can end plus
7.
10.
45-36 and 7.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. They're pushes.
He's plus 9, which means if he wins this one, he's plus 10 on the year. And even if he loses, he's plus 8. So if you bet with Jeff Ma every single time, you made money. Jeff, as you look at this particular game, and you can walk away from it if the line is irksome to you. I'll let you walk away and just, you know, go plus 9
and do
for
that
the year.
By just hanging up right now. Don't even say anything. That would be very
you
cool.
You can rather stay on the line and say nothing.
What are you looking at on this game?
Well, it's an interesting game. The Rams opened as a small favorite, and I think by most analytical systems, that's kind of what people believe. It's been bet up all the way to where the Rams are now a 2.5-point underdog, and there's a lot of people sitting around waiting to see if it goes to 3 on game day. I think the value is on the Rams. I am a Patriots fan. I'm from New England, so it's hard for me to want to bet against New England. But I do think the value here is on the Rams. I want to see if it gets to 3, but I probably would end up taking the Rams. I have some futures bets on the Patriots from early in the season where I'm getting 6-1 on them to win the Super Bowl. So I will probably take some of the Rams here, some money on the Rams here, just to sort of hedge off some of that risk.
Peter King, we had Peter King on the PTI show the other day, and he said in September, he wrote that the Rams and the Patriots would be in the Super Bowl. That's pretty good. I mean, to get that right, and they actually show up in the Super Bowl. So then you've won money on the Patriots all year, so you have money to play with in this one, right?
Well, no,
they need to win
He got them at the beginning of the year, 6-1.
So the home run scenario would be he bets the Rams plus 2.5.
Patriots win but don't
by
cover.
One or two.
Right,
correct.
Right, Jeff? The Patriots win but don't cover?
Yeah, that would be the perfect scenario if that happened.
Jeff, but when did you get them at
2.1?
When did you get them at 6-1 before the season?
No, they were actually 6-1. There were a bunch of times during the season. Huh. I think the 6-1 was maybe in the first or second week. Remember, they had some tough times this season.
Yes,
where there was even a time towards the end of the season where it looked like they may not get the bye. I think I bet some more on it when I saw that scenario where it didn't look like they were going to get the bye, but I thought Houston was going to lose to one of their games, and I thought the Patriots would win out. It was right after they lost to Miami, I think, was the situation, and then Houston ended up losing in that game to Philly last minute, and that's what put the Patriots in a position to get this bye.
There are these prop bets. I'm not one of those people who pays attention to them, although I know they are talked about and talked about and talked about. As somebody who does this, you know, seriously, does this for a living and cares about this, I'm assuming you think prop bets are idiotic, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you like them.
There's different categories of prop bets, right? There's some of the prop bets they do just for sort of entertainment and fun. Like, you can bet on the number of Donald Trump typos on tweets on Sunday. And that number, you can bet whether that's going to be over a half or not. And at plus,
just need that one typo.
All he needs is one typo,
right.
and you win that bet.
Does it have to be sports-related tweets, Jeff, or any tweet?
Any tweet on Sunday is what it said, what the rules are.
I'll be right back.
No. Exactly.
Yeah.
Then there's also I think historically, Rufus, you know, obviously who you guys know, he had his early success in sports betting was all around props because they're hard for them to price some of these props. And the props that I'm talking about are things like there's a category that people call bridge jumper bets, meaning if you lose them, you're going to go jump off a bridge. But the general public doesn't like to take these long or give up these long odds, things like no overtime or no safety, or no special team or defensive touchdown. All of those have value from a statistical standpoint because, you know, no safety is something like minus 800, meaning you have to give up $800 to win $100. So a lot of people don't want to do that.
Right.
It's similar to the situation when Floyd Mayweather fought Conor McGregor. Everyone wanted to bet on McGregor just because they thought, like, oh, these are good long odds. But there was so much value on Floyd Mayweather, because really, like, there was no chance he was going to lose that fight.
Yeah. All right. This is good. Thank you so much, Jeff. We appreciate it.
No problem. Great
love
being
Jeff
on
Ma.
This season.
I love Jeff Ma. Well, we're bringing you back. Oh, rest assured, we're bringing you back if you'll come back.
And people really should focus on, number one, I listen to their podcast every
bet
week.
The process.
And number two, Rufus really did legit, not just because he's been in here with us and because we're Jeff Ma, he got screwed.
Oh, by any objective measure, yeah.
And for $1 million,
let me say this, to his credit, he has not said I would have won that million. He has admitted he's not sure what he would have done had he had access
right,
to that
money.
Right,
but he didn't have the chance to Correct. Have a chance.
Correct.
Isn't that what Elizabeth Warren was really talking about? Was that theft?
Yeah.
Wow.
They're interesting guys. Both of them. Yeah. Both of them.
It's called Bet the Process, and you should pay attention. And Jeff is from the East, and smart. He's a graduate
not
of MIT.
Not dumb, like everyone says. Smart.
He's smart. I just wanted to mention something without giving anything away in particular. I am now up to speed on True Detective. And Michael and I had this chat when I was driving home yesterday, and he made some very, very good points about the acting in it. This is not... Michael and I are both in, but we are not. We have not jumped all the way in. We are not covered by the water yet. We are up to our waist, but we're not. We're going to stay
I'm
in.
Neck deep.
Okay, so it's not McConaughey and Harrelson.
Right.
You tuned in to see the first True Detective because they were mesmerizing as actors. McConaughey had those small things he did, the inhaling of the cigarettes, the unwrapping of a cigarette pack, where you went, this is just so cool. I want to get involved. The acting in this is very good, but as yet, the acting in this doesn't... It's not the acting that's bringing you to it. It's the story... To me... Yes, you have your hand
I
up.
I just wanted to ask you this about that, because I agree with you with
respect... Mahershala Ali is a great actor.
I agree with you with respect to the acting. However, and tell me your feeling on this, I actually like that dynamic. I like this relationship... More than
well,
I like that relationship.
That relationship was rather hostile.
This relationship cheeky at times.
Seems more,
it's friendlier. It's
more
funny.
Like what actually happened in a real life working environment.
Yes, and there, yep. and there's the subtext there of the racial thing and working that out. I mean, I had to fight for. I agree 100%.
This character was originally not going to be portrayed by an actor of color.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
So he sold that?
He did.
He's a good actor.
That's cool.
I actually,
he's a great actor.
My takeaway so far is I knew Mahershala Ali was good. I've been really impressed by Stephen Dorff.
Surprising.
I thought, particularly as it goes on.
Yeah, I agree.
The first episode, I was kind of like, this is the Vince Vaughn.
Yep.
Yeah, you start to see some of that depth in the 10-year time.
The 91. Right. Yes. Yeah. Where, you know, and I think him talking about their relationship, Mahershala Ali and his relationship, and had you seen him, and now he's on the task force. You know, all that stuff I think is... I found him, especially in the fifth episode, and there's a...
The fifth's not on yet.
A fourth episode, rather, where there's the race
careful,
stuff
careful,
in there. Yeah. I know I'm being talking broadly, but I thought that fourth episode's his best, and he seems to be getting better, and I like their relationship... More as it goes.
But from a performance standpoint, I don't think anyone could argue with what you're saying.
Right. I'm only through three, but you see with his character when he visits the Purcell father in the 90 timeline, that's where you're beginning to. So what I was saying to Dad is all these breadcrumbs, you're happy to follow along, but it's a little too overt into how they're laying them out. And you want to say, I'm with you, but speed it up a little bit if that's what you're going to be doing.
It's very slow, like the first
and
one.
And another.
By the way, the other characters. Unlike in the first one, where it was all McConaughey and Harrelson, basically, there are other interesting characters here. There are more
the Purcells.
Of the other characters.
Well, and that's Scoot McNairy, who plays the Purcell father, is outstanding and is very, very good in another show people should watch called Godless, which is a Western. I know that can scare people away, but it's like an 8-episode thing. The woman who plays Lady Mary in Downton Abbey is in it. An excellent show that won awards last year, but he's terrific in that, and I think really good in this as well.
And I wanted to just talk briefly. I got a note from George Mitrovich the other day,
who
is in Boston today at an event, which I will get to in a second. Who will be in Washington tomorrow, and he's hosting a dinner. And I said I would go and have a drink, but I don't stay, as everybody knows.
Yeah,
I go and then I get there early and I leave.
You ask when you can leave.
Can I leave now?
Yeah. This was lovely.
He pointed out that today is the 100th birthday, or would have been the 100th birthday, of Jackie Robinson.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And Jackie Robinson, for those of you who are young and not as old as I, which is 95% of the people in the country, Jackie Robinson is on a social, political, and moral level the most important athlete in the history of the United States of America. He's a great athlete, too. But what happened in 1947, I guess it was, I think that he played for the Dodgers first in 1947, when he integrated Major League Baseball, that's the watershed moment in sort of social equality in America, which is not to say everything was equal from that day on, because that's ludicrous. But that was, you can, that's the marker in the ground. That's the most important thing. On any other list of the most important athletes, for a variety of reasons, not just social, Babe Ruth is on the list. I mean, Babe Ruth legitimized sports in America more than anyone else.
Muhammad Ali.
Well, he's right on that list too. But you might say to me that there was a heavyweight champion like before Babe Ruth. Yeah, there were heavyweight champions, but Babe Ruth playing a team sport which was more accessible to more people and did not have the sort of repulsive quality of punching some guy in the head till his brains fell out. So that's why Babe Ruth is on that list. Muhammad Ali is on that list. Billie Jean King is on that list. Kurt Flood is on that list. And I think 40 years from now, when people who are in their 20s and 30s now are old, LeBron James is going to be on that list because he's changed the notion of the power that athletes have. And there's some others, I'm sure.
Do you think Colin Kaepernick has the potential to be on that list?
I don't.
I don't know. I mean, I'm asking. I
don't because
he
does not advocate on his own behalf in the way that all these other people did. Okay.
Martina, or can she not emerge from the shadow of Billy?
Maybe, but yeah. Billie Jean King's got all of it.
Right. Dwight Howard, Billie, I think.
Yeah, Dwight Howard. Certainly
so
Dwight Howard.
D12, baby.
I mean, there was a time that there were no black players in baseball or in any sport, in any what you call major leagues, in any sport, that it did not happen, and Jackie Robinson changed all of that, and as a consequence, and I think most people would agree to this, died very, very young because of all the things he had to endure. And endure is the right word because he was very carefully taught and schooled and agreed to submerging his personality completely and turning the other cheek until there were no cheeks left. Mm-hmm. Time and time and time and time again. And I believe his widow, Rachel, is still alive.
Yes, I believe you're right.
I believe she's still alive.
I was just thinking that.
He was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor, was he not, Jackie Robinson?
Yes.
I think that will be the subject of one of the things that the roundtable that George Mitrovich, I think it's the Fenway Writers Group or
she
something like that.
She is still alive. She is 96 years old.
Wow.
He passed in 1972 at the age of 30.
No, he wasn't in his 30s.
Yeah, No.
He was in his 50s.
50s, yes.
He was in his
50s.
Early 50s.
Yes, that's right.
He was in his early 50s. There is a great story that
51.
Billy Crystal tells. Yeah, Billy Crystal tells a great story of helping him across the street in Manhattan, recognizing him and helping him across the street. And I can't do justice to it, so I would just tell you to try to find it if you subscribe to
It's all
Facebook
findable.
Or
it's out
YouTube.
There.
Did you want to say something?
Well, I was looking up Jackie Robinson Awards, but it said in 1947 there was a poll for who was the most popular man in the United States. He came in second behind Bing Crosby.
Is that right?
Yeah. So
wow.
Sort of interesting.
53 when he passed. Sorry, Tony. But you're exactly right.
Very, very young. Yes. Very young. Okay, so we will get out of here now. And, Gary did this earlier in the show. Do you want to say who you're picking in the Super Bowl?
Oh, that'll keep people tuned in. Stay tuned for that when we return.
No, we're not. Well,
No.
It's either now or never.
Now or never.
Don't miss your chance.
I'll take New England just because.
Michael?
Oh, in the Waste Management Open, I think Matthew Wolf, the amateur from Oklahoma State, is going to surprise a lot of golf fans.
Golf again.
Really interesting swing.
I think Wilbon's going to be there
this
weekend.
Get your email ready.
I think Wilbon's going to be there.
Get your email faxes in your notes.
Nigel?
I'll go with the Patriots.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he's a front-running New England jerk. That's why.
All right. We will get out of here. Yeah, email and jingle when we return. We're not here tomorrow. We were here today to serve you breakfast, and you didn't show up.
Well,
only a handful of people for whom I am grateful. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
You have everything you need for a mural. You won't get paid.
Sing it, Bobby.
It's a 40-foot long wall by the men's room. You're still not paid. But just imagine the exposure, and you can sign your name.
Small, in a corner.
Yeah.
Well, the little house needs mending. The plumbing, it must be plumbed. And for the pine trees in my backyard, the arborist soon will come. But there's no need to pay an artist, 'cause That job's just for fun.
Brad Weiss, it's so good.
Wow, that's amazing.
Did I ever tell, I'm sure I've told the story that Carol once had this boyfriend when she was in high school who gave her a poem. And Carol was really, you know, and...
Like hand wrote a poem for
yeah,
her.
Yeah,
right?
Like a poem for you. And it was, she's got everything she needs. She's an artist. She don't look back. She can take the dark out of the nighttime. She can paint the daytime black. And Carol
was
showed
it
to
me. Dylan?
Of course. Carol showed it to me. I said, well, this is crap. Who's this guy? Why are you dating this guy? This is Bob Dylan. He just stole Bob Dylan and claimed it for himself.
No, I thought Carol was dating Bob Dylan. Now, that's a story.
No, not dating Bob Dylan.
Do you like this song? It's called Mr. Tambourine Man. I haven't tried it on anyone.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think?
No. So I said, this guy's he's a loser. And she realized he's a total loser. Let me thank, before we get to the mailbag, let me thank the host of Meet the Press, Chuck Todd, and the host of Bet the Process, Jeff Ma. Let me thank today's sponsors, Lowe's and Sonos. The baby boy Bootsy is here with Liz.
Yay, Bootsy.
The baby boy Bootsy walking around, throwing the party pints around. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. So he'd only copied like the first two verses of it. And I said, you know, if you go get the song, the last verse, it says you wind up at a key... on a keyhole on your knees, looking through a keyhole on your knees, something like it's just really, I go, yeah, it's a song by Bob Dylan. Yeah.
May I add today's episode brought to you by the Polar Vortex, because despite the fact that the heaters in the studio are set to 82 degrees,
still three
it's
degrees.
In the 50s.
Definitely not 82 in here.
From Ryan Restivo in Comac, 81. Long Island, Suffolk County, I have no skills in the art world, but I have some in Photoshop. So I put together this. It's got everything the mural at Chatter needs. Trotz, Holtby, the game to save, and Ovi. It is the top of the Sistine Chapel where Barry Trotz is
reaching his
fingers down. Yeah, it's just fantastic. Eric Hansen, a TV guy in Des Moines, Iowa, as he signs it. Thin right sock, left sock. Wool right sock, left sock. Dress right sock, left sock. Right boot, left boot. We're all the way to 12 below zero this morning.
Ooh. Oh my all God. About layers.
In Des Moines, Iowa. Steve the Sycophant, your description of your physical exam reminded me of the story about the doctor asking the examinee, do you want the good news or bad news first? Let's have the good news. Fine, a newly discovered fatal disease will be named after you. That's terrible. Neil in Rockville. Oh, sure, Chris Ullman can whistle out of his mouth, but the body has a number of other orifices. Why don't you bring on someone with real talent? From Dennis Ryan in Traverse City, Michigan. Sorry, Dr. Tony, but you've lost touch with your Long Island roots. On PTI, you told Wilbon that the Islanders no longer have a following in Nassau and Suffolk because they don't play there anymore. Actually, they will have played more than half their home games at a renovated Nassau Coliseum this season. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought they were in Brooklyn the whole time. There's the baby boy.
Oh, dear. Oh, his mother is
as a youth, my
him.
Own Uncle Tony took me to Isles games at the Nassau Coliseum, which at that time was located in Nassau County. It is in Nassau County. It's in Uniondale. I can still recall how great the New York-style pizza was across the street at Borelli's. Joe in Boise, Idaho. Every woman in America has an ex-boyfriend just like Luke Russert. I am sure of it. Mike from Burke, Virginia.
Luke's a pretty chill dude.
You're a fan of Kellyanne Cornjob because she's good at her job. I was expecting she was nice to me once. Interesting question. Can somebody be completely despicable and good at a job? Come on, Satch. You work at the four-letter leader and you work for Raju. You know the answer. From Don Hammack in Biloxi, Mississippi.
Hammack.
You're against positivity? The people would never have guessed. It's a stupid word. It's a non-word. Jim Flynn in Colebrook, Connecticut. I was up for jury duty once. I was interviewed to be on the jury for a complex three-way lawsuit with hundreds of potential witnesses. As I was questioned by the three lawyers, I tried to be as much of a jerk as possible. Was afraid they would still pick me. So finally I told them that if I was chosen, I would show up every day in a Star Trek uniform. I was dismissed. Tell Mike Freeman to save the Star Trek paraphernalia just in case. Jake in Manhattan, dear Gary, clutch Anthony Perkins reference, my dude. Nailed it. Boom goes the dynamite. White Kaiser, American University class of 2004, the son of Marty Kaiser. Wow. Forget trivia, opening of a sports book, or axe throwing. If you really want to turn a profit at Chatter, how about celebrity bar fights? For Chatter's inaugural bout and to celebrate the Skins hiring Rob Ryan, how about Rob and Rex versus Chris and Luke? Maybe throw in some specials, the Tall Boy 16-ounce beers the Ryan brothers love, Malibu shots, and have Luke post Instagram stories throughout the fight.
Rob Ryan, chill guy.
Willie Balk, Englewood, New Jersey. On yesterday's show, Nigel said it was colder in Chicago than it was on Mars. Was it colder than Uranus? We end with that. If you're out on your bike tent, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Do it live!
Yeah.
I'll write it, and we'll do it live!
Hey, hey you!
It ain't on you. Forget her, forget the truth. It's a cut of the machine laid blue. From past love, unrequited blue.
I seen more than most. I kissed the ocean coast to coast. I love those high times. 'Cause I've been running wild, but all that running's got me tired. I miss the quiet life. Lately I've been thinking about the ones back home that made me who I am. Lately I've forgotten all about the places where it all began. Take me home, take me where that green grass grows, take me where the sun don't go down, take me back to my hometown. Well, I've been getting lost in all the noise and lights, the cost of always dreaming.
friends, they come and go, but it's the loved ones I miss most. I need to see them. Yeah, I've been killing time, but now the time has passed me by, and I'm a nowhere man. Yeah, lately I've been thinking about the people and the places where it all began. So take me home, take me where that green grass grows, take me where the sun don't go down, take me back to my hometown. So take me home, take me where that green grass grows, take me where the sun don't go down, take me back to my hometown. Oh, 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 take me home. Take me where that green grass grows. Take me where the sun don't go down.